Take your Bibles, if you will, the book of Matthew, as we continue some thoughts from the book of Matthew, chapter 10. Matthew, chapter 10, beginning at verse 5, would you please stand if you're able? We're going to be reading about 11 verses. Matthew, chapter 10, we've read these verses a little bit over the last couple of weeks. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. When ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the men that were sent forth to take the gospel message. Lord, we thank God for those men and women down through the years that have been true to the Word of God, that have been true to the house of God, that have been true with the people of God. Lord, bless this time that we have left as we look into your scriptures. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. In verses 5 through 15, we find our Lord's instructions to 12 disciples. Now, as we read verses 16 through 23, we find instructions for future disciples, beginning at verse 16. "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But be aware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come." In your mind's eye, see Jesus talking to his disciples. In those first 11 verses that we read, these were instructions to those 12 disciples. But here the atmosphere of these verses is different from that in the previous verses. Here, the Lord speaks of persecution. But we have no record that the 12 suffered either mistreatment nor abuse during their journey. Jesus also spoke of a ministry to the Gentiles after he had made it clear to the 12 that they were not, that they were to go only to the house of Israel. We note also that the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, yet Jesus talked about the Spirit speaking in and through them in verse 20. In Matthew 10:22, seems to indicate a worldwide persecution while the apostles were ministering only in their own land. Thus, it is difficult to escape the conclusion that these instructions apply to witnesses at some future time. But what time? To some degree, some of these events took place in the book of Acts. But Jesus did not return at that time. Also, the ministry in Acts was not limited to the cities of Israel. Warren Wiersbe believes it, quote, closely parallels the time of tribulation that Jesus described in his Olivet Discourse, found in Matthew 24 and 25, with the phrase, "He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved," as we read there in verse 22. And is definitely a part of the Lord's prophetic discourse, unquote. This does not refer to a person keeping himself saved, of course, but rather enduring persecution and remaining faithful. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe there is tribulation and persecution of believers in our world today? Well, we know there is. Do you think it could come to America? We know that there are already those who are persecuted for their faith. There are those who have been told that if they don't do certain things for a certain segment of our population, that their business could be closed down, that they can be fined, they could even be imprisoned. And tribulation has even begun to come to those in America. If then these instructions apply to a future time of tribulation, we can easily understand why Jesus said so much about hatred and persecution. This will be a time of opposition, a time when God's servants will be like sheep in the midst of wolves. They will need to be tough-minded and tender-hearted. Are you prepared? You know, it says here that the Spirit will utter, I think he'll use what we've already known and studied and heard. That's why we need to know the Scripture, so that the Lord can use it when hard times comes. This persecution will be three-pronged, from religion, verse 17, from government, verse 18, and from family, verse 21. Reading material like Fox's Book of Martyrs or magazine articles like Voices of the Martyrs, etc., we know that persecution of the Lord's believers has happened, is happening, and will happen. Remember this, religion has always persecuted the true believer. Did you hear what I said? Religion has always persecuted the true believer. From Cain, who murdered his brother. Wasn't Cain religious? Yes, he offered a sacrifice to the Lord. He had religion. Was it the true way? No. And so because God would not accept it, he killed his brother. How about Jezebel, who hunted down those who worshiped Jehovah? And how about Saul, whose name was Paul, before he was converted? In fact, on the road to Damascus, he was going in search of people of this way. and there was persecution. Don't think just because we live in America that a persecution cannot come our way. It may very soon. How sad to see both Bible colleges and churches that once taught and proclaimed the gospel message slip into liberal theology, dead orthodoxy, and idolatrous rites. How sad that there were churches at one time that proclaimed the Word of God that today have become liberal in their teachings. You're okay, I'm okay. Folks, Jesus Christ was not afraid to call sin, sin. He was not afraid to tell sinners that they needed to repent. He was not afraid to tell them of hell and the need to miss it. And yet many of today's churches refuse to preach that there is a hell, that we need to repent, that there is only one way into heaven. I got this in the mail the other day from a Baptist church over here in Birmingham. It said, "Dear Pastor, in a recent interfaith meeting between local Muslim imams and Christian pastors to find a common understanding, the following statements were offered as the basis for agreement. Islam is one of the many roads that lead to God. Islam is a religion of peace. There is no contradiction between Islam and Christianity. Islam respects Jesus as a true prophet of God." That one is true. They do respect Jesus as a prophet of God, but not as the Son of God. You know, this is what is happening in our society today, is that we must be tolerant of all religions. That's a lie of the devil. There's one way into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Church history reveals that organized religion has opposed men and women who have dared to witness boldly for the cause of Christ. Second, government also shares in this program of persecution. In Revelation 13, we find a time during the tribulation period when a world ruler, the Antichrist, will force the world to worship him and his image. He will control world religion, economics, and government. And he will use all three to persecute those who stand true for Jesus Christ. None of us know how we'll react if persecution comes, but we can prepare for it. We can prepare so that we can remain strong for the cause of Christ. Third, there will also be a decay of family love and loyalty. Jesus quoted from thoughts from Micah 7:6, "For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house." It says here that the brother shall deliver the brother to death. And it says here, the father, the child, and the children shall rise against their parents and cause them to be put to death. That's pretty strong, isn't it? That's very hard. Note the three institutions that God established in this world are the home, human government, and the church. In the last days, all three of these institutions will oppose the truth instead of promoting it. It is sad when we have churches today that are more interested in entertainment and teaching you that as long as you are good, that's good enough. But your goodness will not get you into heaven. Have you ever heard someone say, oh my goodness? You don't have any goodness when compared to God. We find that our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. In the eyes of the Lord, there is only one way into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not trying to belittle other people and their faiths. I feel sorry for those who are religious, who will spend a lifetime serving their God, only to find out at the end it was the wrong one. I feel sorry for those who live in America who have had the truth available and have rejected it, have ignored it, and have not been willing to accept it. Through persecution comes opposition, but also opportunity and obligation. There will be opportunity to share the gospel with those in places of leadership. You read the book of Acts and you find that Paul was willing to be a testimony for Christ to kings. We find that believers were willing to die for the cause of Christ. Some of them, through the years, as they were burned at the stake, they would sing out songs of praise, and they would preach the gospel, and it came to the point that they would bind their mouths so they couldn't preach as they were being burned alive. When John Bunyan was imprisoned for his faith, he would preach out the window to the people around him. So you know what they did? They put him on an inner room. And so he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. So God still used them. There'll be an opportunity to share the gospel with those in places of leadership, and those going through the persecution will be obligated to be testimonies of their Lord and Savior. 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of invitation. Folks, the most important decision anybody will ever make in their life is to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we know this, that salvation comes through Jesus Christ, and He offers that freely to all. Martin Luther caught the truth when he wrote, let goods and kindreds go. This mortal life also. The body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. We serve an awesome God, a creator God, a God who has a plan and a purpose. And we can know it. We can know it. Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Every one of us will someday and in a box, or in a canister. My mother-in-law was very much against cremation. And so if she and I were having an argument, I would say, I'm going to have you cremated. Actually, I have something at home that if Donna wanted to cremate me, she could put me in. No, you're not going to do that? You can just go out and get a hot water heater box and put me in that. Then they could all sign it. Doesn't that sound nice?
No.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is all of us are going to die. Every one of us. The fact of the matter is at 66 and 1 week, I'm closer to death now than I've ever been before. My wife, when we got married, we were the same age. She's now 10 years younger. She looks 20 years younger. I'm trying to earn points. But the fact of the matter is, are you ready? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in which you said, Lord, I need your salvation. I am a sinner. And I realize there's nothing I can do to save myself. But that you have died that I could be saved. And then you have to decide if you're willing to accept him as your personal Savior. It's a personal choice. I couldn't do it for my sons, Matthew or Brian, or my grandchildren. My parents couldn't do it for me. I can't do it for Donna. We can only do it for ourselves. Have you prepared yourself to meet the Maker, the Creator? Thank God for men and women who were willing to die for the faith. Thank God for men and women who have been faithful so that churches like the Covenant Baptist Church could proclaim the gospel. And thank God you have an opportunity today, if you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, to come to him. Shall we stand together? Number 401 is our invitation song, Only Trust Him. Have you trusted him? Have you accepted him as your Savior? If not, you can come to the altar and we'll have somebody show you from the Word of God what you must do to be saved. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now your blessing on this time. Lord, we ask the Spirit to move and to convict. We ask, Lord, that your will would be done. We ask, Lord, that you would contain the evil one and his demons. We ask, Lord, in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving, amen.